Right, we're about to fire low. Permission, we're about to fire low. We're going to look at short-term penalty parking. This is a briefing, essentially sparked off by Paul Zimmerman, who rightly is concerned about the amount of space has been taken by lorries and car parks along the waterfront. I think TD is going to brief us. This is Tom.
Of explain the course of program and Gotham's development programs. We also are flexible in terms of what sort of sites we will get. As I said, we are willing to trade in quota, to trade a few smaller sites in return for a big site. We also look at other possibilities, for example, using Central Western District as an example, we will be opening a smallish car park underneath the flyover in Kowloon West. We will be putting just over 20 car parking spaces there for vehicles, good vehicles and coaches to alleviate the shortage in that area. So we will continue to do that, working together with land departments or maybe planning departments and other departments as appropriate. However, we do need an adequate supply of parking spaces to satisfy the parking needs throughout the territories. And those spaces will have to be reasonably spread throughout Hong Kong for the convenience of the drivers, to meet the need of the drivers. So this is a continuous process, and as I said, Chair, we will continue to work with relevant departments to this end. I will pause here and I will try to answer questions by members. Thank you.
Just one question. Have you had a chance to look at Mr. Zimmerman's points? He's suggesting that your list isn't comprehensive enough, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know if you had a chance. There's a paper table. If you haven't had a chance, don't worry. Maybe you could take it away and let us have some responses to it. He's suggesting the list isn't complete and there are other things that you would like done. But maybe we could leave that and you can come back on that. Just one question from the chair, if I may. You've given up a fair number of sites for MTR for work areas. Is there the prospect, will you be looking to have those back for temporary parking after MTR has finished with them, or is there the possibility that the Commission could have its eye on them for community use?
Sure, I think the... I mean, without commenting on that specific site, if you're interested in that, I'll come back to you at the next meeting. But speaking generally, before we give up a certain site to facilitate development, we usually will have identified alternatives. Because otherwise, to be quite clear about it, the drivers would just come after us. they would just block the way. So, I mean, figuratively, not literally. So what we usually do is we will already have identified alternatives, and they would have already moved to the alternatives. So usually we will not expect that site after being used as a works area, for example, to be given back to us. Okay. So that's the general approach we take. But for the particular site that Chair you were asking, we'll come back to
that. My question was more general one. Yeah. If you give out the site, you're not expecting this to have it back. Because in a way, that gives us some optimism. Have you any idea of how many sites you've given out to MTR?
Well, it depends on each different project. For the Western Island Line, we have given up 4. For the Kung Tong Eastern Extension project, we have at least given up a very large one, which was accommodating nearly 1,000 vehicles. And that is a very large site and is required for the construction of the home team. So we have to get that up. And in replacement, we get back 3 small sites. But it's mainly for the parking of the essential vehicles, like the heavy goods vehicles and the coaches. So some vehicle types, such as cars, are displayed from the giving up of that last site. We haven't found any site to provide to them before, because we expect that this vehicle can park from their car parks nearby in some private car park, which is not very difficult to find.
Thank you. Yes. Chairman, I
surprised to have come up with this problem again, and if I remember correct, I think it was this kind of thing 20 years ago. Short-term tenancy parking space is, come on, I think I've been raised up in Shenzhen District for a long time ago, so how to deal with it, right? This is, you can't leave parking space. You cannot rely on this side of short-term tenancy. Right? Nobody like it. And you must find a strategy how to deal with it. And I can't see any of this strategy here to deal with this sort of problem. And you just say, one, 10 years ago, you had quite worrying those doing these dangerous goods vehicle. They drive up to the governor's house, block the carbon row. I think the central representation ought to raise the question, what is the long term, how to solve it? Please, all those land in central medicine in particular will become will have some usage. But now we still need to rely on that kind of land. 20 years now, Cameron. So I think the particular the last sentence here. And I think the government should be easily thinking about why can't you do some permanent if you have that need? Can you not have a proper solution? You cannot rely on this short-term financing, parking to solve a problem. And also, if you drive along Hong Kong at the night time, in many districts, you have this big 4-digit lorry parked on the normal driveway, cause a lot of dangers to the people using the road. You found many things, even the buses. Cause you not going to the buses, container truck, also a working vehicle, it parked illegally parking. As to some extent, it's something that admitted illegal parking. How come that happen? They will happen today. It's not existing. For a long time ago, I'm glad that I submit to Mr. Wright. So now I can think this up. We need a long-term study to solve this problem. Thank you, Chairman.
Okay. Commissioner, we'll come back to you. We've got another question here from the Smith. This is brief. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. I think this is a very, I would say, it's a self-contracting situation. For that logic being explained, we will never have any space already zoned in the past open space in the waterfront to become open space. The short-term need has actually taken over what is planned for permanently. If the short-term need refuses to vacate to allow space for what has been planned, that would be a very convenient excuse for the unavailability of open space for public enjoyment, which should be the spirit of the harbor planning principles and guidelines. So I would say that the issue is a matter of a planning issue. The question is, have we actually planned for allowing adequate, if that is such a need for this vehicle parking in the city, other than the harbor front? If there is no, then probably we have to rezone all these open space to permanent use as a car park, and that could be more realistic. So I think that is an issue to resolve, because otherwise that issue would be a chicken and egg situation, and the ball will pass from one bureau to another bureau, one department to another department, without getting the thing resolved at the end. That is my personal opinion, and I think, definitely we have to ask ourselves, has adequate parking space, if there is such a need, been planned within the city? Or there could be innovative idea, you can have an underground car park with an open space on top, That could solve few actually something that needs to be resolved once and for all, rather than dragging it as someone said this has been there for 20 years. Thank you, Chair.
Strategy and planning. Right, Peter.
Yes, I agree with the principal town. I was going to make some of those points myself. I think we do need a strategy. Car parking is one problem. Coating lorry parking, I think, is something else. And I think just as an example, in Kennedystown, you know, we do have an example of an open space that was actually built. You could have had car parking underneath it, but right next to it, you had an area virtually the same size. It's used for car parking. And the reason for that is that it's in Kennedystown, and there's very little space. Most car owners who deliberately choose to buy a car have nowhere to park them other than renting a car park space in this particular area. So I would have thought that, you know, just to get to the heart of the matter, whether it would be possible to present some sort of an overview according to broad use catchments, the coach and lorry parking particularly, so that alternatives for more permanent facilities could actually be examined. And I say that because I think the coach and lorry parking, you know, you don't need a parking right next to where somebody's living or working necessarily. It could be several kilometres away. How far away it extended, I'm not too sure. But there is a current government study, for example, at the moment on cavern development and potential uses for caverns. For example, cavern development is an Aunt Davis map being quite viable. I know more than 20 sites have been considered as being suitable for that, and it can't be impossible really to put these sort of things together and come up with a long term plan. Thank you.
Any other comments? Please, thank you.
Yeah. Key questions. The first one is I think from the presentation it's not so clear about who should be responsible for finding all these parking spaces. It seems that transport department and land department has been mentioned in the paper, but it also seems that in terms of truck and coach parking, the private car parking companies' involvement has been very limited. Is it kind of related to the restriction? So the whole question. The second thing is about being somebody working on transportation. I'm sure that there are restrictions like vehicle maneuvering, but it's not enforceable. Like in the PLs, in China, we have looked at logistics centers with lorry parking that are 3 or 4 story high. In Hong Kong, we also consider this multi-story, you know, lorry parking or underground lorry parking more seriously. While in relation to this question, I just want to, you know, slightly go back to Joseph's point that this issue really has to be solved at different districts, not really one whole car park solving the entire problem for the territory. It has to be dealt with at a district level. But probably we need to consider more options here. Thank you.
I want to understand how short term are those challenges. 2 years, 3 years, 5 years? 3 months, 3 months. Yes, yes. You're talking about short term. Really want to know, you know, if our strategy for the harbourfront development is ever being affected by these short term tenants. I think, you know, if there is any precedent that it has been affected, then we should never allow that to remain.
Commissioner, would you like to respond?
I think this is first of all, thank you for the very valuable comments by members. I think this is another classic case of, to borrow the very likely analogy used by it's another case of where we need to fly low, fly high, and we need to fly low. I can see where members come from, and particularly since I am a member of this commission, I can see where the commission comes from, and that is when we are flying high. But when we are flying low, when we are on the ground and dealing with real problems and real issues, there are certain practical considerations we need to take care of. But first of all, I need to debunk a misconception
which seems to be emerging around the table, and that is we have never and we will never refuse to pick up a site in the interest of long-term development. We have done that in the past, and we will continue to do that. One of the sites shared, as you will see from the list, is the North Point Estate. And I think it is no secret that that site will be disposed of one day for development. And we are prepared to give it up. We have to give it up to support the government's land sale program. And so I would need to make very clear that it has never been part of our practice, and it will never be to frustrate government's zoning or development initiatives by not getting on the site. But what we have been trying to say in this paper and in my presentation earlier is that when we get on the site, it is important that we find replacements, either a site of equivalent size or several smaller sites which will meet the need of the coaches and the good vehicles. Because there is a need for that. Long-term strategy and other alternatives, and I'm grateful for some of the thoughts and suggestions put up by members. In fact, we will be looking into some of those. We will be looking into the option of, for example, doing an underground car park and using the top, so to speak, that open space. Here the question would probably be one of cost, because building underground car park, which is big enough to accommodate coaches and vehicles, and we're talking about really large vehicles there, could be costly. So there's a question of financial viability. The same action would go for multi-story car parks. And for those, quite apart from visual intrusion, because those will be really huge buildings, there is also the real question of allowing enough space for maneuvering and so on and so forth. But we're not ruling those out, and as I said, we are looking into those as possibilities, as part of the longer-term solutions. Those are things that we will take on with us, and we will certainly give them detailed consideration together with the written comments by Mr. Zimmerman. So thank you, Chair.
I think, Mr. Chairman, it's not the matter of flying high and flying low, but spending high and spending low. we've got to spend our way out of this, and other cities do it. We don't. London has, underneath most of its old George's Square, Grosvenor Square, Bloomsbury Square. In retrospect, looking at the car parking, that's very difficult to do. These are squares with a lot of very nice landscape. But Bloomsbury Square, I know very well, and it has about five different levels of parking space. French towns have done exactly the same under their old town squares. We can actually do it. It's a matter of strategizing and deciding what captions are needed, and then literally going for it. There's been open spaces recently built along the or adjacent to the Western Waterfront, for example, that technically could have had car parking associated with it instead of surface parking.
Crucial, just one final question. Is there a challenge with growing demand as well?
From the Commission's point of view, the one piece of good news is that demand has been very stable. In fact, the number of good vehicles and coaches have remained fairly stable in the past few years.
Please.
Sorry, the tenancy, how long?
The length of the tenancy, sorry.
The length.
Usually, the length of the short-term tenancy is 1 year, and then 1 month advance notice for the vacations. So if there are permanent needs, they can give advance notice to the user, and then they carry the site. First, the commission has mentioned we have never diffuse the surrender of the site if there are use of the permanent means. I think this is a misconception.
Okay. The context about the question here is about the use of the short-term terms of the water at the harbourfront areas. And then there are we're only talking about 2,600 parking spaces. This is around 3% of the total requirements of the whole Hong Kong area. I'm just thinking, again, the idea of how to relocate those 3% needs to the town center. I think we do need a strategy to. First, we're only talking about 2,600. And another question is, do you know whether the operators of these 2,600 spaces are they, one single or many small operators?
On paper, it's not a terribly large number. Paragraph 5 of the paper says that, when we did this next short survey of the 2,300 vehicles parked in these 14 sites, about 1,000 are good vehicles and coaches. So on paper, you probably won't think that 1,000 is a huge figure. But as Dr. Lewis was explaining to us just now, when you try to come up with a longer-term solution, it's important that the replacement sites are provided fairly easily across the territory and not centrally located, because their activity and where the drivers live, they're scattered all over Hong Kong. And in terms of whether they are three large operators or many small operators, it's actually a mix. It's actually a good mix of both. So that adds to the challenge too when we try to find replacement sites.
Thank you. Please, okay. Mr. Chairman, just some observations. I'm not trying to be critical of transport department or because I'm trying to help them, but just an observation. I don't think it is just a problem concerning the waterfront sites. It's actually a citywide issue. Right? Just we're focusing on the waterfront sites. It so happens that many of these sites were formed by recreation. Because of history, because of historical reasons. But what we have to do is to compare the planning standards whether there is actually a surplus or a shortfall. But the standard is sometimes rather flexible because you have a range from a certain number for a number of flags to a certain range. And then it also changes because of low pricing. Right? And sometimes under small government and big market situation, I think we'll balance it up by itself because you look at the charges of all these short-term car parks, they all differ. Some are more expensive, some are very cheap if it is located in a very remote place. Right? So it's actually not a purely GIC or population-based facility, but it is related to the number of households, so to speak. But it varies. People buy cars or not buy cars depends on the efforts and the growth in demand. So I don't think we can solve the problem in this forum. It just so happens it occupies many of the valuable waterfront sites that then we are becoming concerned. But it needs to be looked at from a standard point of view. But having said that, I think that it's fair enough to make use of the vacant and undeveloped GIC sites or also for temporary uses. It is not uncommon in city development. Not all sites are fully developed in one go. There are bound to be some undeveloped sites that could be put to some useful use. Thank you. Thank you. Can I just ask one final point? Annex 2, where you show your location plan of the short-term tenancies, I see there's not a single site on the Tai Tak. I would have thought Tai Tak would lend itself to short-term tenancy use, this use.
Well, I was given the understanding that sites within 500 meters from the shore lines are excluded, and perhaps some of the sites that in Tai Tak outside that that length, so they may not have been included because of these reasons. But certainly, if members are interested in the sites within the Tai Tak area, we can provide those.
I think in terms of comprehensive picture, yes, because Tai Tak certainly falls within the RMAs.
Right.
Okay, thank you very much. Obviously, a challenge which we all share. Strikes me we'd better have a chat with MTR, actually, because if you surrender another site to MTR and don't want them back, that's what we should be focusing on, essentially, in the medium term anyway. Thank you very much, Commissioner. Thank you.